All right, turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 113. Psalms chapter 113. Psalm 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118 all play a significant role in the Passover that the Jews celebrate. These psalms are read as a part of that time of celebration. Now, if you remember, the Passover is a time to remember what special event, what event in the Jewish history? The Exodus from Egypt. That's the name, the Passover. And so what we're going to see as we look at these psalms is we are going to see how the writer of these psalms has put together in an incredible way some praises to the Lord for the people to remember all that he has done. Now, as we go through these, and what we're going to do is we're going to read through these. I'm going to make a couple comments, but I believe the intention tonight behind this is that the Lord wants to lift our spirits. I have talked to several folks in the past couple weeks, and it has seemed as if folks are struggling in their spirit. Some are discouraged, some hurting. Some just need a lift. And in fact, I had one person just share with me that I need to remember that as a preacher. That sometimes your church, they don't necessarily might need instruction. They just might need some encouragement. Now, I would not do that all the time because we certainly do need instruction. And the instruction, in ways, can be encouragement. But as you know, the Psalms are a great source of encouragement to hurting hearts. It can be a great boost to those that are rejoicing in Christ and rejoicing in the Lord. Psalm 113, follow along as I read this. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore." Now, is there any end to that? No. I love the Psalms for how the writer communicates. It communicates in a beautiful fashion, poetic, and he communicates profound things in beautiful language. And you see here, "Blessed be the name of the Lord, all caps, Yahweh, Jehovah, the self-existent one, from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." The sun rises when? In the morning. And the sun sets, goes down, in the evening. And the psalmist here reminds us that the name of the Lord is to be praised all day long. The Lord, verse 4, is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Do you believe the Lord is above our nation? Is he high? Is he ruling and in control? As we watch our state head downhill, as we watch our country, as we watch leadership make compromises, but yet the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? the psalmist here, it's almost as if he might be preaching. And you know how preachers sometimes can get real excited. I remember once when I was traveling around with a singing team, and I was at this Baptist church, and this is a Baptist preacher that he had an exciter that was way beyond anything I've ever seen. And he was jumping around and just excited about the things of the Lord. And you see the psalmist here just communicating and asking the question, who is like our God? Who can be compared to him? Who dares go into his heaven where he abides? He raiseth up the poor, verse 7, out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 113, a psalm of praise. And you see here, I believe all of us could see ourselves somewhere in that psalm. And that's the beauty of the eternal word of God, is that it's applicable to all of us, through all ages and all times, across cultures. And you see here that God raises the poor, he lifts the needy, he sets them up with the princes. You know what comes to mind as I think about that is you remember the story of Mephibosheth. You remember him? He was the son of Jonathan, who was of the family of Saul. And David was king. And as David was king, anybody of the family of Saul, theoretically, was a threat to his throne. But we saw what God did in Mephibosheth's life. Because remember, in fleeing, he was made lame. And then as a man, King David searched for him and found him, and he found himself eating at the king's table. And you see, once again, you see how God can lift up the needy and the poor and put them right next to kings and princes. How about verse 9? He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. On Mother's Day, we looked at that idea. And we looked at how this is God's doing. And it's God's design. And how God is the one in control here. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Now, on to Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. What sea is that talking about? The Red Sea. The Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? You mountains that you skipped like rams, and you little hills like lambs. Now look at verse 7. The psalmist, making his case for a great God, says, tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water and a flint into a fountain of waters. Are we people that tremble in the presence of the Lord? What's that mean? Well, if you want to, we could break it down into a very, maybe into something that we can understand, but it's by no means a comparison. But how do you feel when you are in the presence of somebody that is famous? You feel kind of nervous. You don't want to trip. You don't want to spill anything on them. You're careful. It's because you honor their position or who they are. And yes, that's a very poor comparison because what we're talking about here is God. But dear ones, we are in the presence of God. And here, as the psalmist is writing these, and as the Jewish people would read these during the Passover and they would celebrate God's deliverance, they would be reminded of the presence of God. How was the presence of God illustrated, or how was the presence of God made real in the lives of the Jewish people? You remember? God dwelt where? Right there in the middle, in a tabernacle, between the cherubim. The presence of God. Do you remember who was allowed to go into the presence of God? The high priest, how many times? Once a year. The presence of God was not something to be tampered with. Remember the sons of Aaron who went in and gave incense on the altar that was not appropriate. What happened? They were struck dead. Remember God's specific instructions on how to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And remember, it was being carried on an ox. And a certain priest reached out to steady it, and he touched it. And what happened? He died. Why did they die? Well, they disobeyed God, yes, but the presence of God is something to be trembling, to cause us to tremble. He does and will continue to do. He has and will continue to do miraculous things in our lives. We watch and we've seen him do a healing in Pastor Halber's life. That should cause us to tremble because we are in the presence of an almighty God who has seen fit to bring him back to health. God didn't have to do that, but he is demonstrating his power and ability to do so. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord. Keep in mind that the people of Israel, as they walked through the wilderness, did not always obey God. But they were God's people. And notice it says, tremble, thou earth. If the people did not obey God, the earth certainly did. The earth heeded God's voice. The Red Sea, it parted at God's command. The Jordan River, it stopped flowing, just as God instructed. Psalm 115, Now unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Did you catch that? You have our God who is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. The heathen, they cannot look at us and say, where is your God? Because he is evident. He makes himself evident in and through our lives, if we allow him. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Listen to this. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. Idols. Of what good are they? What can they do? What do they accomplish? I find it interesting that one of the greatest pieces of work in ancient Egypt has lost its nose. You realize that these pieces of work, that idols, they are dead. They have nothing. There is no life. And here what you see God is declaring is they cannot accomplish what a living God can do. They that make them are like unto them. An idol has no life. They that make idols have no life. Spiritual life. They are dead in their trespasses and sin. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. I want you to notice the repetition here. He speaks of Israel. He speaks of the house of Aaron. And then he speaks of those that fear the Lord. And each one of those is very specific. House of Israel is the Jewish people. The house of Aaron is those priests that serve God in the temple. And those that fear the Lord are those that tremble at his presence, whether they be Israelites or we can make the application for us today. Verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. In case you haven't realized it, I'm basically reading tonight and allowing the Word of God to clearly communicate what's here. I need to be careful what I do say because I don't want to mess with what God is saying. But please, please recognize God's blessing for those that do fear Him. And recognize again the psalmist saying, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Having this attitude, dear ones, an attitude of praise and blessing the Lord will be an attitude that will carry you through the toils, the trials, and dangers of life. In our Sunday school class, we've been studying Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And in that passage, Paul is instructing people on how to think. And in one of those things, whatever is worthy of praise, think on these things. Do you ever have days when you're struggling? Days when you're not making good choices? Days when you're down? Turn your attention to praise. Turn your attention back to lifting up Jesus Christ. Turn your attention to these psalms and allow these psalms to minister into your heart, to exalt the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent God. Nothing can minister into your heart like the Scriptures, the Word of God. And allow God to speak to you. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Can you understand the passion here behind the psalmist? As he is communicating, he's saying, these are the struggles that I'm going through, and I found myself deep in a pit, and finally I called out to the Lord, please deliver me. And he says, gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. You ever get to that point where you just want to give up on the world? All men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. You can see in this psalm a progression up to the temple and the place of worship. And you can see how the psalmist is dealing with some things in his life, and he realizes that God is there for him, and so he comes to the temple to offer thanksgiving unto the Lord. An offering, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And he comes to the courts of the Lord. And he ends with, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 117, O praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. You see that short little two-verse psalm, the main thrust right there in the middle is merciful kindness is great toward us. We need God's merciful kindness. The merciful kindness in that he has the compassion, he has the kindness to show unto us, even in the midst of when we are struggling, when we may be in places where he does not desire us. It is the faithful and merciful kindness of God that is real and true. Praise ye the Lord. And we're going to close now with Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Dear church, cling to that. Cling to that. For in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the struggle, you need to know who's on your side. The Lord is on my side, the psalmist writes. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now that's practical. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees and they are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. Do you hear it? The psalmist thinks like we do. Thinks like we do sometimes, because we have to. We kind of gear ourselves up because we find ourselves struggling or being attacked, and we have to tell ourselves what's true. And the psalmist here is just repeating things that he knows are true, but he needs to voice these things to get his mind and his heart back in focus. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. Verse 15, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. He just repeated himself, didn't he? You ever repeat yourself? You ever feel like you need to repeat yourself when you're praying? You just need to get this point, and it's just, you're having a hard time. And just repeat it. God, I believe you to deal valiantly. The Lord, verse 17, he writes, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go in unto them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath shown us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Dear ones, we've just read Psalms 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118. And God has preached a message tonight to hurting hearts. God has preached a message to hearts that need to know his greatness, need to realize that he is the God who delivered the people of Israel from slavery, who took them through a wilderness and gave them water out of rocks, who brought them across the Jordan into the promised land. He is the God who brought David safely through the time of running from Saul. He is the God who established the throne of David. And what we see in this last psalm is we see the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. And this is applied in the New Testament to whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. And notice it says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Dear ones, it just comes back to Jesus Christ. And this is the day where we can rejoice. The day that Jesus Christ gave his life. The day that he was refused. He was rejected of men.